All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, find Matthew 12. We're going to do a little bit of reading to start off with. This is our norm.
Ooh, echoey.
These lovely kids had a foretaste of this message last Sunday, and so now it's your turn. See if my voice will last. We've been through the songs now twice, and now I'm preaching. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your word. As you send it out, God, I pray that you will cultivate our hearts, that we will receive that word and allow it to bear fruit in our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each one in this room, wherever they are at, and you will bring encouragement to follow you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to start right at verse 1. We're going to read from 1 to, I think it is 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you would have known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take a hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the others. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. I struggled with this sermon like I haven't struggled with one in a very long time. And I'm going to share with you my struggle, because when I think of the Sabbath, I know what Exodus 20 reads concerning the Sabbath, and I'm going to read that to you. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your cattle or the sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." You're wondering, well, where was the struggle? The struggle is in here in Matthew 12, there's two situations that come up, and they break the Sabbath. And my struggle is, why, God, is this here? This all happened in one day. I'm going to give you my 2 points before I get into my message, because what God kept telling me is, do not preach this as a command, even though it is a command. Jesus does not want you to receive this as a command. My 2 points, I'm giving you ahead of time because they overlap so much. My 2 points is, one, keeping the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing, not a burden. Secondly, keeping the Sabbath is important. And those are the 2 points that God kept bringing to my heart. I'm a 3-point expository preacher, and so, of course, I wanted to find the legalism in this somehow, and that's not because I'm an expository preacher. It's just that I understand that this is a command. I understand that, and I believe that it is. But keeping the Sabbath was not meant to be a blessing, or not meant to be a burden, pardon me. It was meant to be a blessing. And when you read in the text of Matthew, as we read this, Jesus is trying to bring that out. It's interesting because it's the Pharisees that are doing all the pointing of the finger in this particular text. But we do our fair share. But the Pharisees had added 39 restrictions to the Sabbath day law. Now, some of you may have heard this before. It's kind of a funny Jewish story about that. See, what the Jewish love to do is they love to sit around and debate scripture. That was their way of investigating what the scriptures mean. So they'd kind of bounce it off of each other, and they would debate, what does this mean and how far do you go with it? Where is the line, you know? And that's how they came up with these 39 restrictions. But there's a story told of a parable, a discussion situation that they would always bring up. If two Jews are walking along the road and one discovers a grain of rice in his pocket because we're not to carry any burden on the Sabbath day, what do they do? And the answer was that they sit down and wait for a Gentile to come along and take it off of his hands so that they could continue on their pathway. It's just the ridiculousness of going to the letter of the law and imposing this thing as a burden and not a blessing. And Jesus wants us to understand the difference between observing the Sabbath as a holy day unto the Lord and becoming legalistic and putting so many rules on it that we can't enjoy the day for what God meant it for. We miss the entire intention of the Sabbath. Now we see here at the beginning of Matthew 12, they were eating grain and they were hungry. When David's men ate the consecrated bread in the temple, when they broke the law in the temple, there was a reason. And what we need to do is we need to use our heads a little bit here, and we need to have a little bit of logic over top of legalism, and we need to embrace the very heart of God, not to the breaking of commandments for the sake of saying, oh, well, the commandment is irrelevant, because we need to understand that there are times when we need to have a heart of compassion over a heart of legalism, and we need to live as much as is possible in that heart of God. And Jesus said, if you'd understood that I want compassion, I'm not looking for sacrifice on the Sabbath day, I want compassion. He says, you wouldn't have blamed the innocent here. You wouldn't have pointed a finger at them because they were hungry. And they needed to eat, just like David needed to eat. And they gave him the consecrated bread in the temple. They understood the heart of God. So we need to be careful that we don't get all bent up into legalisms. The healing of the man's hand on the Sabbath day. Wow. They wanted to accuse him for healing a man's hand on the Sabbath day. I want an amen from you guys, but wouldn't you just love it if somebody came forward with a withered hand and they stretched it up to praise God and it was restored as whole as the other? Oh, I would be ecstatic. And I asked the kids in kids' church last week, what would be your reaction if you saw that? How would you respond to that? And these guys were angry. They were mad about it. It bothered them that this man got healed on the Sabbath. That's a law. You broke the rules, man. Even though this man's hand was healed, if we look at this same scripture or same situation, pardon me, in Mark chapter 3, we have the exact same story there, how he entered the synagogue and a man was there whose hand was withered and they were watching him, Jesus, to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. They were kind of hoping that he would, not because they wanted to see that man's hand healed, they wanted to find something to blame him with. And it says down later on that he looked around with anger. He looked at them with anger. In verse 5, after looking around at them, and he was grieved at the hardness of their heart when he said, stretch out your hand. That's a bit of information that's not included in the Matthew account. You see, there's righteous anger. there's righteous anger. And Jesus was angry against legalism that blocked, that basically cut off the heart of God. We can be so bent up about rules that we miss the very heart of God. Those rules were put there for you. That Sabbath day was put there for you to be a blessing, not a burden. And our culture has bound us up that we've become legalistic, or we've become too much the other way and too free and easy and too much embracing our present culture that we don't honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. We've got to find that ground where we understand that this command was put there to be a blessing. And so if you begin to disregard the Sabbath, if you begin to disregard the fourth commandment, be assured you're going to miss out on that blessing. You've gone too far the other way. We can't be legalistic and say that, you know, for the sake of people's hearts and for the sake of people, we're going to be legalistic about it, but we can't go the other way either and say do whatever you want on the Sabbath day and treat it like any other day of the week. We have to find that ground. And I'm going to tell you what, God said to me, title your sermon, Is It Lawful? Is it lawful? And the thing is you have to decide in your heart what you're doing on the Sabbath day. Is it lawful? It's not for me to lay my rules upon you and say this is what you got to do. Look at what the heart of God is and what his intention of the Sabbath day is. And remember that it's to be a blessing, not a burden, and that keeping the Sabbath is important. Not to disregard the Sabbath day and treat it like any other day of the week to do stuff in. The intention of the Sabbath, Matthew 12, both incidents, like I say, they happened on the same day. Some theologians would say that Jesus was abolishing the whole idea of the Sabbath day right there. He was abolishing it. And I'm going to tell you that is not what I read in my scripture. Where was Jesus on the Sabbath day? He was in the synagogue. Where do we see Jesus on the Sabbath day? As was his habit, he was in church. So he set an example for us. He's not trying to abolish the commandment to honor that day as a holy day and a day of rest. He is in no way diminishing the importance of the Sabbath day. He is clarifying the intention of the Sabbath day, that it was made for man and not man for the Sabbath day. The Pharisees had turned it into a burdensome ritual. It was a day to be dreaded. It was bound up with legalism and neglected the needs of the individual. And Jesus was trying to show them that they had twisted the application. If you'd have known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus goes on to teach them the difference between doing good on the Sabbath day and being bound by rules. And he uses the sheep in a pit to emphasize there's a serious need. It would be wrong for you to withhold from someone because it's the Sabbath day. I want to just address this sheep in the pit situation. I sometimes think that we throw that sheep into that pit somewhere between Monday and Saturday, and then we figure on Sunday we got to bail that sheep out. There are so many people, and Dan and I hear this, and Lord forgive me, I know you don't mean to go there too far, but there are some people that say, I can't get up and go to church on Sunday, it's the only day I can get to sleep in. Well, then you should have been sleeping all week. You should get your rest during the week as well. You don't throw that sheep in the pit and then say, I can't have a Sabbath day because I got a sheep in the pit. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. See, sometimes we get too busy. We get too busy and we don't leave room in our lives for God. If you do not have time in your everyday to spend time with God, I beg you to change something drastically and make time for God every day. It doesn't have to be an hour. An hour is great, though, by the way. But it doesn't have to be an hour. But make time for God. Make time for his word. Make time for that prayer. Have time for worship. There's times we're worshiping God. I come to God and I'm burdened. I don't feel like praising God. I'm angry. I'm hurt or whatever is going on. Maybe I'm stressed out over money or my kids or who knows what the burden is. But every time, you know, it seems like life is full of this stuff. And I don't feel like praising God. And I don't feel even close to God. And I sit down at my piano, and I begin to worship the Lord. And at first, I don't feel it. But by the end of it, it's like that just kind of vanished. And there I was in the presence of God. And those problems, they come and they go. They're real. Yes, amen, they're real. But so is God. He is real, and he wants us to have time with him. And the Bible says 6 days God created. On the seventh, he rested. You know, the Sabbath was created before Adam and Eve because it was created back in Genesis when God took that seventh day to rest. And you see, I'll just give you a little bit of a Jewish history now. Y'all are going to be Bible scholars here in no time. Y'all, that's my American side. Adam, it was created before Adam, and Adam was there, and God instituted the Sabbath. The Jewish nation, according to Jewish history, even though their Bible is like ours in the Old Testament, they started Genesis 1:1. They do not believe that the Jewish nation, the Jewish tribe, actually originated until Abraham. So all the patriarchs prior to Abraham are not considered Jewish. And so you see that having this day of rest instituted here in Genesis 1, it's not just for the Jews. It's for everybody. And this thing about 6 days he created the earth and seventh day he rested. Recently, actually, my mom was with me. We were visiting a synagogue in Calgary, and there was a lady there, and she was explaining things to us about different things and about the Sabbath day. And she said, you know what? In the Hebrew language, they had a number for every day of the week, much like we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They had a number instead of like a day like a Monday assigned to every day of the week, except the Sabbath. It was called the Sabbath. So for us to interpret that would be like Monday would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Sabbaths. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Sabbaths. There's a reason for that. You should not be counting that day as another day of the week. It is holy. It is set aside. It is separate from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that you live in. It is not your day to catch up on housework. It is not your day to do all the stuff that you couldn't get done in the first 6 days. It's a separate day. And God created that day not to be a burden, but to be a blessing to you. It's not to be counted. So don't count it. Don't say, well, I can get it done tomorrow. You can get it done Monday. Something I have found out about my house. Women, if you're with me, I want a big amen. How many of you can clean your house and you, the next day is just dirty again? Amen. How many of you can leave a mess in your kitchen and come back 2 days later, and it's still there? Amen. All right, so what is leaving it one more day going to do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It will still be there. In fact, even if you clean it up, it'll just show up again anyway. We've got to get a hold of the intention of the Sabbath. And you know what? You laugh, but I want you to understand something. It's to be a blessing. You have, I am giving you on God's authority, a day off. Guilt-free. Amen. God said, take that day off guilt-free. Guilt-free, ladies, men who feel that you have to get it done. Guilt-free. Now, I want to be careful. There are people that have to work on the Sabbath. That is the way it is. Thank you. Doctors, thank you. Policemen, thank you. Firemen, thank you. People who work in the restaurant so I can go out and eat on my Sabbath. Yes. There are people that have to work. And our culture has kind of robbed that day from us. But we get caught up in it. We get caught up in it. Don't let yourselves get caught up in it. You're not doing yourself a favor. God gave you a day off. There was a study that was done, and I couldn't find it, but the person who told me about this study, it was at the district conference, and the person who told me about the study, I believe, is authority. I believe he's not lying. This study was conducted about people who kept the Sabbath. I actually did find one study that was close. It was actually in National Geographic, if you can believe it. National Geographic. That people who kept the Sabbath lived longer. Here's the stats. This actually gave me goosebumps because I'm thinking I'm going to live a long time. Women who keep the Sabbath day the way it was intended, as a day of rest, as a day of spending time with fellowship, lived 11 years longer. I know. Wow. Men who kept the Sabbath day the way it was intended live 9 years longer. Now, I want you around because I can't afford to not have you, so.
9 years longer than you.
I'm going to live 11 years longer. Leave me lots of money. I can spend it fast. I got 2 years. Keeping the Sabbath day is important. And in Exodus, we remember, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not just a day to lay around and do nothing. That is not truly keeping the Sabbath day. The definition of a Sabbath day is a day set aside for religious observance. It used to be a Saturday, the New Testament church. We celebrate our Sabbath on a Sunday because we line it up with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have calculated, and that's the day that we observe our Sabbath. Can I ask you, legalistically, does it matter? No. What matters is that you have a day that is holy unto the Lord. Now, Jesus mentioned the priests. They work on the Sabbath day. Now, don't come to me and say, well, Pastor Judy, you and Dan and Andrew, y'all have to start working 7 days a week because the priests did not. They worked on the Sabbath. No, they took a different day. That's all. They just took a different day. It's about the intention of the Sabbath, a day holy unto the Lord, a day where there's dedication to God, exercising and entering into worship and taking from his word. And in the New Testament church and in the Old Testament, it often involved getting around with people and eating. I like that part of it too. The Sabbath day was meant for man. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this for anyone who thinks that we don't need this anymore. Verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We need each other, by the way, we need each other desperately. Not forsaking the assembling together as is the habit of some. You should not be forsaking assembling together. We call this a Pentecostal assembly, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. Did we not hear this morning from the very voice of God that day is drawing near? All the more, be here. All the more, teach your children that church is important. All the more, build each other up. Maybe you're not the one that's going to get blessed. Maybe you're here to bless somebody else because we're supposed to be here to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And if you're not here, how are you doing that? We need to be in church. We need it. I wish I could find a stronger word than need. Can I say we desperately need church? I know just for myself, there have been Sundays where I didn't want to go to church in my many years of being a believer, before being a pastor, even since. Didn't feel like going to church. Wanted to stay in bed. And those are the days it seems like I received the most from God. When I went to church. When I went to church. I would be so And you know what? That feeling that you don't want to be in church, it's a sign that you need something from God. To me, it's a sign that there's some dryness going on. You need to be here. You need to feel and connect with God. And I think there is a problem when we start putting the cares of this life in front of our passion for God and teach it to our children. This is more important than going to church. And okay, I'll stop. It's a habit of being in God's house. It's a habit. And what happens if we stop is we disconnect. We disconnect from fellow saints. We disconnect from God. We feel disconnected from the body. And we need to be in the body of God. We need to be loving our brethren in the Lord. Jesus has another parable that he gave us in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I'm just going to read the one part of the parable. And that's the seed that was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who've heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Of all the seeds that was listed in that parable in Mark, that was the one that had grown. But the thorns came in and choked out. And the things that choked it out was worries, deceitfulness of riches, that thing, I got to do more, I got to do more, I got to do more, and desire for other things. Other things could be anything. And there's many reasons people have found to pull away from church. And we cannot be caught treating it like any other day of the week. No longer do we desire to just breathe in God's Holy Spirit and to relax. We need that. We need to have that hunger for God. We need to have God first in our lives and have him as our desire. I think when you take that day and you make it a true Sabbath day, something changes in you. Monday feels different. You're almost ready for Monday. It's like you work from your rest rather than resting or working to rest, is what one fellow said. And I like that. You know, you also take a moment, because you're not doing anything, to contemplate. And when you're contemplating, sometimes you look around and you realize, I am so blessed to have my kids around me. You look around and you thank you, Lord, for this food and my friends. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my health. Thank you for all the prosperity you've given me. You see, when we take a break from the frenetic drive to the next thing, the frenetic drive to succeed at this, and we just stop, and we just kind of look around, we're actually taking a moment, if you will, to pardon me for the corny phrase, but to smell the roses. And it's important that we do that. Just take a moment to just stop and just appreciate. And just disconnect, if you will, from the drive that our society has put upon us. God did not establish the Sabbath to be a burden. He wants it to be a blessing, a time to maintain your relationship with him. And it's you who benefits. I read one thing, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, in her book, The Ten Commandments, she wrote this. Did we forget somewhere that God created the Sabbath day? We think it's our idea. It was God who created the Sabbath day. And he created it as a gift to you for corporate worship and for that rest, a day off without guilt. God meets us in different ways. He gives us encouragement. He gives us joy. He speaks to us here. He spoke to us this morning through the gift of tongues. If you're not familiar with the Pentecost tradition, we believe in the book of Acts. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are active and alive today, that God will give someone a message in a tongue, and God will give the interpretation to another, and the words that we heard this morning that were spoken were interpretations. They were from the voice of God. God is trying to tell us something, to draw us to him. If you weren't here, you missed it. And it's important that we hear what God wants us to hear. Amen? He teaches us. He heals us. He connects us. It is our hope. Honestly, all the things that we're striving for, Think about it. Think about what your goals are. What are you striving for? What is it you're hoping to accomplish? Because when you die, what do you take with you? Sometimes I think we're beaten at the air and we're missing. Our hope is in glory. Our hope is in God. God said, lay your treasures up in heaven. Where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. Put your heart on God and put that treasure up there. Our hope is the end. Our hope is being with Christ. If this world is all there is, I'm sadly disappointed, even ripped off. As I see the hardness and the coldness and the cruelty and the ugliness of this world, as I see the disease and the sickness and the crime, I'm disappointed. And even when you accumulate great riches, you will be disappointed, because the kind of joy that we need can only come from God. That's the kind of joy that comes from within, not from without. And if we don't develop that channel and that connectedness with God, religion is just a set of dry rules that mean nothing. And you're going to dry up. We absolutely, absolutely need the Sabbath. God said to tell you this. Catch a vision of what the Sabbath is meant to be in your life. Catch a vision of the blessing that God wants for you on your Sabbath day. We're going to close with the song, Lord, I Need You, at the request of a lovely saint in the Lord. Amen, Terry. So I'm going to call the musicians forward, and as we sing that song, Lord, I need you, God, I need you. What we're doing is we are inviting God into our Sabbath. Just going to take a moment, though, before we go there, as the musicians are assembling, and I want you to just bow your head. I want you to just give God a moment and just ask him, is your Sabbath holy unto the Lord? Is your Sabbath day a blessing? Are we teaching others that it's a blessing? We need to really be careful. And so I just want you to take a moment before the Lord, before the band starts. I'm going to play softly, and I want you just to seek God personally for a moment there, and just clarify in your own heart. God said, is it lawful? Is it lawful? And ask yourself what I'm doing with my Sabbath day. What am I doing with my Sabbath day? Am I bound with rules, or am I too free?
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.